By about 5 a.m. the UFOs had almost gone. It is only conjecture on my part, Andy concluded, but I think the huge UFO had landed by the Limassol power station just along the coast or beyond it, and stayed there for about 3 hours. The smaller yellow ones were a protective force, and the larger white ones were the reconnaissance craft. What the object of the exercise was is purely a matter for speculation, but maybe the power station had something to do with it. The only other thing I can think of is that the huge object was perhaps being repaired, because the difficulty it seemed to have climbing could suggest some sort of malfunction. 12. My first line of inquiry was headquarters, British Forces Cyprus at the Akrotiri Sovereign Base area, which occupies a large area mostly contained on a peninsula some 25 kilometers to the south and west of Le Meridien Hotel. I can assure you that the sightings, SIC, were not as a result of any British Forces Cyprus exercise, stated Squadron Leader J.A. Bartram Raff, Office of the Commander. It would appear that other people did cite unusual aerial phenomena on the night in question, and this was reported in the Cypriot papers. 13. In late November, early December 1992, I spent a week in Cyprus and interviewed people in the area, including an assistant manager at Le Meridien. A local researcher had not heard anything about the event, and my appeals for witnesses, on Cypriot radio and television and in the Cyprus Weekly, drew a blank. I was unable to get an appointment at the Limassol power station, but the following year my friend Graham Shepherd, a former British Airways senior captain, visited the station and was told that nothing unusual had been reported on the night in question. Although there were reports of UFOs around that time, neither of us could find anyone who could corroborate the main event. One possible explanation may owe to the closely knit Greek Cypriot community who, I gathered, are quite sensitive about things of this nature. I should mention that earlier in the year, on the night of January 24/25/1992, many residents of Larnaca, Limassol, and Pekori observed a brightly lit craft, estimated at about 50 meters in length. Some said it was soundless, while others thought they detected a low hum. Beginning at 2300 hours, the sightings lasted for 2.5 hours. 14. I met Andy in my apartment in December 1992. He appeared nervous. As he had explained earlier, I am very concerned about the consequences arising from publication, particularly the security implications, not only for me, but also for Cyprus, especially as missiles are involved. 15. I wrote again to British Forces Cyprus in 2003, asking if any further information had come to light, querying the possibility that the event might have been related to an air defense exercise. Your request has been exhaustively investigated by RAF Akrotiri, came the reply. But, regrettably, unit records are unable to throw any further light on the events, and hold no information on live weapon training for the night in question. 16. If a hoax, one would have to question the motive. A desire for money and notoriety, at least, can be ruled out. Having met the witness and corresponded with him over a period of time, I retain the impression that he was describing a real event, one that, as in so many other cases, left him profoundly disturbed. Furthermore, reports of this type of craft were very rare in 1992, but as we shall see, sightings of similar types increased in ensuing years. Shropshire, UK. In Need to Know, I cite the penetration in the small hours of March 31, 1993, of two Royal Air Force bases, Coesford and Shawbury, by a large triangular craft, and, in the second edition of that book, reproduced a minute from the Ministry of Defence's, MOD, Head of Secretariat, Air Staff, to the Assistant Chief of the Air Staff, UCA. Some of the reports state that the object was moving at a very high speed, while some say that it was hovering or moving very slowly, the minute concludes. Many of the reports refer to the object being very large, flying low, and making a low humming sound. My staff have spoken to a number of the military and police witnesses, many of whom commented that the object was unlike anything they had ever seen before, A Met officer at RAF Shawbury reported seeing the object projecting a narrow beam of light at the ground at a height of 400 to 500 feet and estimated its size at somewhere between a C-130, Hercules, and B-747, Jumbo. If there has been some activity of U.S. origins which is known to a limited circle in MOD, Ministry of Defense, and is not being acknowledged, it is difficult to investigate further. 17. On the night of March 30, 16-year-old Darren Perks had an encounter with what was either the same or a similar craft. At the time of the incident, he told me in 2005, I was preparing to enter the Army Air Corps. Since the age of 12 I had been a member of the Royal Air Force's Combined Cadet Force, CCF, in which I had already made the rank of Flight Sergeant. Being in the CCF, I had flying experience and extensive knowledge of all military aircraft of the current time and post-Cold War era. I also had good knowledge of civilian and/or non-fixed-wing aircraft, and I was a frequent visitor to RAF Shawbury Air Base. At approximately 11 p.m., I was walking home from my part-time job at the Shrewsbury Super Bowl, in the northern outskirts of Shrewsbury. At the time, my parents owned a local pub called the Harry Hotspur, and it was only 600 meters from my work along Harlescott Lane. As I got to within 100 meters of my home, my eyes caught a slow-moving structured object, about 300 feet up, moving from left to right, south to north. At the time, the weather was clear and there was no wind and also no traffic passing me on the road, so my surroundings were very quiet. It was a black triangle shape, approximately 200 feet in length and 150 to 200 feet in diameter. It was clearly defined, and it blocked out the stars. As I continued to watch this strange craft, a brilliant white beam of light appeared from it and started to sweep the ground from left to right as if it were looking for something in the fields. On the two rear points of the triangle, I noticed a faint red or orange colored glow. At one point, the craft stopped moving and just hung in the sky, still not making any sound at all. The triangle was moving very slowly, I would say about walking speed, and I could hear nothing but a very low humming sound that was irritating to hear. I also felt warm, and the sense of being watched, or at least that whoever or whatever was controlling the triangle knew I was watching it. Opposite my house at the time was rough ground and fields, and the triangle continued to move north over them with the white light flicking back and forth randomly. At this point, I estimated that I had been watching this craft for about 2 minutes when all of a sudden it shot off to the north at incredible speed, making no sound at all. I knew that this was not a military or civilian aircraft, and I rushed into my house and woke up my parents to tell them what I had just witnessed. All of us then went outside to see if we could see the craft, but there was nothing. I never told the authorities because I didn't know what to do, and during my time in the military I never spoke of the incident as I didn't want to be ridiculed. However, it's only been in the last 2 years that I found out about the RAF Coesford, Staffordshire, and Shawbury, Shropshire, incidents, and that what I saw was linked to other sightings over the UK that night. Ever since the incident, I have had a feeling of knowing that the craft will come back. It makes me feel uneasy, but at the same time I want to know where it was from and why it was here. I can't explain it, but I have it in my head that in 2012 something is going to happen and that it's linked to what I witnessed. It's a feeling that never goes away, and when I go back to the spot where I witnessed the incident I get an overwhelming sense of uneasiness to this day. I think the military in the UK and the United States know of these craft but are keeping it under wraps away from the public so as not to alarm people. 18. Roger Wise and his partner were travelling along the Telford Road, Bridge North, on September 16, 1996, at about 2300 hours, when an extraordinary craft, similar in some respects to the one in Cyprus, appeared. The object was an incredible size, flying slowly from the east, Roger recounted for me. It was low in the sky, rectangular in shape, rather like a skateboard moving sideways, with window lights, portholes all around it, with more than one tier. This, with several levels and the size, looked like the equivalent of a battleship. It then appeared to slow and from the mid-front released a fully lit spinning circle which spun off at top speed, like a flying saucer, toward the west and Klee Hill in a matter of seconds. The main UFO then turned around and went off back toward the east. 19. Yukon Territory. In some previous books I have referenced the encounter with three UFOs reported by the crew of a Japan Airlines Boeing 747 cargo flight over Alaska, en route to Anchorage, on November 17, 1986. During the encounter, which was tracked on radar, Captain Ken Juterochi caught a brief glimpse of a main object's walnut-shaped silhouette, judging it to be twice the size of an aircraft carrier. On the evening of December 11, 1996, a huge craft, estimated by witnesses at the time to be larger than a football stadium, see photo section, was seen in three main areas along the 134-mile stretch of the Klondike Highway in Canada's Yukon Territory. The majority of the 22 witnesses elected to remain anonymous. There was no sound at all coming from the object, reported the principal investigator, Martin Jacek of UFO BC, and the craft had a huge, and long, row of lights around it. When a witness happened to point his flashlight at the craft, it started speeding towards him. A beam of light emanating from the bottom of the UFO swept the ground once directly underneath the object. Was it a search beam? Looking for him? The UFO then drifted slowly to the right. There were other beams emanating from the craft as well. A greenish phosphorescent color beam shone horizontally out the front, right, two beams at the back, left, rotated slowly to a horizontal position. All the beams could be seen clearly, as there were ice crystals in the air. The only witness to give his name was Don Trudeau, a trapper, who had a very close encounter with the craft near the village of Pay Crossing. In company with many other witnesses, he was unable to determine its precise configuration, but based on the width of the rows of lights, he came up with a length of 3/4 of a mile. Estimates of the craft's actual size were determined by triangulation. This method was employed 6 times to obtain 6 estimates for the size of the UFO, explained Martin. All revealed staggering results. The UFO ranged anywhere from 0.55 miles to 1.3 miles in length. 20. Arizona Air Display. One of the most widely observed incidents relating to enormous craft, of varying shapes, occurred on the evening of March 13, 1997, when thousands of eyewitnesses across Arizona, mostly in the Phoenix area, reported having seen a mile-long, V-shaped formation of lights, seemingly connected and flying relatively close to the ground. In addition to members of the public, witnesses included F-16 pilots from Luke Air Force Base and a retired pilot in Scottsdale who held ratings in Boeing 747 and DC-10 airliners. Together with others, the former airline pilot observed a huge formation of orange lights, attached to what looked like a structured object at least a mile in area. A chevron-shaped craft, like a carpenter's square set at 60 degrees and estimated to be at least 2 city blocks in length, was observed by Tim Lay, who, together with members of his family, watched as it passed over their home. As it did so, the family felt a sensation almost like stage fright. 21. 10 years later, Fife Symington III, former governor of Arizona, admitted to having seen an enormous triangular craft during the extraordinary air display that night. A cousin of the late Senator Stuart Symington, former Secretary of the Air Force, the governor had hitherto publicly ridiculed the incident at a press conference. "Unless the Defense Department proves us otherwise," he stated during a CNN interview, "it was probably some form of alien spacecraft." 22. This is how he described what he saw to journalist Leslie Keene, author of a New York Times bestseller on UFOs, between 8 o'clock and 8:30 on the evening of March 13, 1997. "During my second term as governor of Arizona, I witnessed something that defied logic and challenged my reality, a massive, delta-shaped craft silently navigating over the Squaw Peak in the Phoenix Mountain Preserve, a solid structure rather than an apparition. It was dramatically large, with a distinctive leading edge embedded with lights as it traveled the Arizona skies. I still don't know what it was. As a pilot and a former Air Force officer, I can say with certainty that this craft did not resemble any man-made object I had ever seen. 23, Utah, Michael Vladek is an Outward Bound instructor who had an encounter on the night of July 5, 1999, a half hour west of Salt Lake City en route to an Outward Bound retreat. Researcher Thane Mathis put me in touch with the witness, who subsequently sent me his report. I pulled off westbound I-80 in Utah onto a ranch exit to put my sleeping bag down and get some sleep, Vladek wrote. The view from where I stopped for the night, about three-quarters of a mile north of the highway, had a 360-degree panorama of the juniper and sage-covered plains. There was a consistently present breeze, about 12 to 20 miles an hour, and the sky was covered in a thick, low-lying blanket of stratus clouds. I could see the lights of Salt Lake City bouncing off them about 40 miles to the east. As he put down his ground pad and bag and prepared to lie down, he noticed that the clouds to the west were oddly bright, and becoming brighter. At first he thought it might have been the moon, but when the lights continued to brighten even more, he assumed that the brights of an 18-wheeler truck parked on the off-ramp of the highway were responsible. Then, as I was about to get into my bag, a bright light cast my shadow on the ground in front of me, and, as I turned around, I saw an enormous non-aerodynamically shaped craft finish coming through the clouds. My guess was that it was 700 feet away from me, although I could be off by an additional 300 feet, at most. It was huge, a 747 airplane could fit inside of it. It seemed to be about 300 to 350 feet long, 110 to 150 feet wide, and 60 plus feet high. It had a rectangular base, and from the super bright lights, I'll explain those in a moment, shining off the desert floor and reflecting back upward, it appeared as if the side was prowed out in an arching angle, on the side that I saw, as well as the back. The front of the craft was just past me and I couldn't see its shape. All of the craft was dark except for one strip of rectangular lights, about 30 of them pressed together near the front of the underside, spanning about 100 to 130 feet or so, see sketch below. The lights were very full spectrum looking, as the juniper and the desert floor were lit up intensely as if they were under very bright daylight. The craft was moving about 20 to 30 miles an hour, heading north-northwest, and its elevation remained constant, around 5 to 600 feet, and it seemed to stay with the contours of the desert floor. When the land dropped away in the distance, its elevation above the land directly below it stayed the same. It also made no sound that I could hear at all. While there was a breeze, it was still rather quiet out. There seemed to be no kind of propulsion system on it that I could discern. When it went out of view, I could still see the clouds above it glowing from the craft's lights off the land and bouncing upward. Then, all told about 2 minutes from my turning around to see it, the lights in the distance faded out of sight. That was it. I was so blown away by it all. It seemed like I imagined it or dreamed it, even 5 minutes later. I think this was because it was so out of context with anything else I've ever seen that I had nothing to ground the experience to. 24, Birmingham, UK, another witness profoundly shocked by his experience was Edward Bradley of Birmingham. At 20:30 on the evening of Thursday, March 28, 2002, he was returning on foot from a friend's former flat in Highfield Road, having collected mail to forward to him. As I was walking down Sherwood Road, Edward reported to me, to the left I saw in the distance 3 points of light approaching. The only thing that appeared odd was that the lights were not flashing on and off, as you would normally expect to see on an aircraft, apart from the navigation lights, that is, author, and they were very, very bright red. As I carried on walking, the shape of the craft appeared in full view, and what I saw wasn't a plane. The object was a long triangular craft and at each corner there was a red light, 3 lights in total. It looked red but it didn't look a natural red. It was the same color as blood. The object itself was jet black, the same color as a polished lump of coal, and I was standing not underneath it but diagonally opposite to it, on the left-hand side of it and less than a quarter of a mile away from it. See photos section. It made no sound and was moving very slowly and steadily. When I say moving, flying is not the word, I think the word is gliding. But it was just on a perfect straight course. The part that made my blood run cold was that it was as if the sky behind it had suddenly gone flat and was sort of shimmering. Imagine a flat black wall and it was affecting what was going on behind it. The sky behind it was like black mercury. That shimmering effect was very odd. There were no clouds that night. Stars were in the sky but not behind the craft, around it, but not behind it. It was having an effect on the sky the other side of it. It was a huge craft and very, very low indeed. Lengthwise I would say it would have fit comfortably into a reasonably sized football ground. It was very close to the tops of the houses in the street and in fact flying in the same line as they were in. From the ground, I would say it was at a height of a 20-story block of flats. I watched it go in the direction of the Stratford Road towards Solihull and then it just carried on. It didn't shoot away. It carried on at a set speed and a straight course. I had a mobile phone with me. But I was so shocked that I never thought to film it, I was mentally taking it in. What surprised me was that I have often read stories about people who see lights in the distance. But this passed me in the street, it was a real object, as clear as seeing a car pass you in the street. And it was passing through a heavily built-up part of a Birmingham suburb. There wasn't a soul about in the street at all, and no one to speak to or say, "Did you see that?" I have no proof whatsoever. My only hope is that someone else saw it that night in the UK, in another location. 25. Edward Bradley, whom I have now met, strikes me as an exceptionally reliable witness. His background includes positions with the civil service, the Department of Trade and Industry, Lloyd's TSB, and Virgin Trains. He currently holds a responsible position in another company. Nova Scotia. Don Ledger is a Canadian author, pilot, and UFO researcher who lives in Label, Nova Scotia. I have long respected his integrity and previously cited his investigations, and those of Chris Stiles, into the Shag Harbour incident of 1967, involving an unidentified submergible object, USO. 26 in a lecture on flying triangles presented at the Halifax UFO International Symposium in 1993, Don included the report of a giant craft seen by Helen M., an experienced amateur astronomer living in Cow Bay, about 5 miles northeast of the city of Halifax, Dartmouth, on the night of August 13, 2002. Helen had been watching a few meteors when one, larger than the others, appeared out of the constellation of Ursa Major. It had a long tail and rather than winking out immediately, it arced across the sky and over her head to the southeast, Don reports. Instead of gradually fading out, however, its progress across the sky was suddenly terminated, as if it had passed behind something. There seemed to be a black curtain being drawn across it from slightly behind her, from the southeast, and she was surprised to discover a straight black line was crossing the sky and blanking out the stars. At intermittent moments she could see what she described as ridiculous and ludicrous tiny white lights at the outer extremities of this black line as they passed over the canopy of trees surrounding her property, and then, noticed that one light was trailing the other two and she realized she was seeing a perfect black triangle of gargantuan proportions, which was in the process of crossing directly over the clearing around her house. If there had been a full moon, I wouldn't have been able to see it, said Helen. This thing blocked the entire area of sky above me, we're talking football fields in length and breadth. This thing was enormous, too big to be in the air, you would think. It was pitch black, very black. It moved very slowly, 10 miles an hour. There was absolutely no sound at all. Everything became very still. And I felt tingly, like when you get pins and needles, but the feeling left when the triangle was out of sight. The entire event lasted about 5 minutes as the craft passed from the southeast and then disappeared over the trees to the northwest. Helen's next-door neighbor kept pheasants in a cage on the other side of the fence and, atypically, they were not making the usual bird noises and remained quite still during the incident. When I got up the next morning, she told Don, I had a headache which remained with me all day, and I felt nauseous and dizzy once in the afternoon. The headache remained with her until the following day. I have to tell you I still feel a little weird about it, she explained to Don. It's hard to wrap my mind around the reality of what I saw. But see it I did, whatever it was. Don Ledger's extensive inquiries yielded other reports of the craft, including input from an air traffic controller who informed him that there was an unknown target with a strong radar return at the specified time and in the specified area, moving very slowly in the indicated direction. He also advised that even though Helen lost it in the treetops, the object moved very slowly about that area before moving in over the city. He watched the object, on radar, for a 10-minute period, and advised that from time to time while over the Cow Bay area it disappeared, then reappeared in and out of the clutter at 1,800 feet, a known floor for radar reception in that area. The tapes were recorded off primary radar returns at Moncton Center, some 80 nautical miles from Halifax. The computer sensor had applied a chicken's foot to the return, a Y symbol which denotes an unknown. There was no transponder code attached to the return, making it a pure primary return, with the very real possibility that this object was at 1,800 feet. I redid the math, coming up with a length on each side of about 4,600 feet. Reports Don. How thick was it? Even 1 foot of thickness gives us 6.48 million cubic feet. For every extra foot of thickness, you add an extra 6.48 million cubic feet. Even at a ratio of 20 to 1, that would make this object 180 feet high, comprising over 1.6 billion cubic feet of volume. 27. Aldermaston, UK, alien craft have a long history of monitoring our developments in the field of nuclear weaponry. Britain's Atomic Weapons Establishment, or, is located on Ministry of Defence, MOD, property in Aldermaston, Berkshire, and it was adjacent to this area that two witnesses, who prefer to remain anonymous, encountered a large craft on September 11, 2004. One of the witnesses, M.L., revealed the details of the encounter to veteran investigator Ananda Sireisner, who reports as follows. At around 6:30 a.m., M.L. and his wife were returning home after babysitting at their daughter's house when they saw a huge object hovering over a field, to the right of the road that they were driving on. At the time of the sighting, it was a bright dawn with a clear, blue sky. M.L. had spotted the object first through the trees and, while trying to keep it in sight, nearly drove into the ditch on the left-hand side of the road. His wife queried why he was driving in such an erratic manner. He stopped the van and told his wife to look out through his window. She then spotted the craft too. It's a spaceship, she declared. M.L. informed me that the object was, in his estimation, many hundreds of feet in length, with pastel lights all around that appeared to pulsate softly, and described it as cloud-like, saying that the colors around the central rim of the object were like moving clouds. The couple observed the object for a short while, which M.L. estimated to be a few minutes. He had gotten out of the van and climbed up on the hood to get a better look. I asked M.L. to sketch the object, which shows a classic flying saucer shape. The couple were just past Church Lane, located on Bergfield Road as it approached the M4 motorway, near the town of Reading. The massive object was hovering over a field adjacent to or, suddenly, from a hovering position. The UFO started to move directly over the MOD site, then rapidly toward the M4 motorway, and was out of sight. ML is convinced there must have been many other witnesses because of the sheer size of the object, and its proximity to or. He is certain that the object must have been captured on the innumerable security cameras surrounding the site, and by drivers on the M4 motorway and possibly even picked up by the cameras that monitor traffic on that busy link between South Wales and London. 28, Tennessee, Some encounters with flying triangles have disturbing consequences.